It's the Freedom Fiends live. This is Nima Vedati broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, the sea of blue statism, the island of blue statism in the sea of red statism. And Michael W. Dean's on the other end there. Yo. With a friend of the Fiends. What you got there, Michael?
Justin. What's up, Justin?
Hey, how's it going?
Justin is a longtime friend of mine and follower of my, I wouldn't say follower, fan of my stuff, and good friend in person, and he and his wife are traveling through Casper today, so he's here. And he is a motorcycle guy and an enthusiast of model airplanes, so if people have questions about that, they can call in about that.
Sweet, sweet. So when you say enthusiast of model airplanes, are we talking like ones that can fly, like remote control or radio control or what?
Yeah, I fly radio-controlled airplanes and helicopters. Been doing it for, oh heck, since I was late teens. I think Michael kind of want to talk a little bit about some of this drone stuff, the private private drone stuff.
Hey, watch it there, guys. Watch it there.
That's what I figured.
The central scrutinizer is listening. No, we're not saying we should do drones, but we have a I'm just wondering when, like, you know, the Mexican cartels, I mean, they have submarines and they have homemade tanks. When are they going to start getting drones? That's going to be a question. But we got a lot of other stuff to cover today. Our throughput, I spent the whole week, like, moving us over from DreamHost, who I no longer recommend because they turned out to be pretty problematic, to HostGator, who I do recommend, and there's an affiliate link on Freedom Fiends over on the right side, and they're great if you want to check them out. And so I just spent all week moving everything all over, all my blogs, the Freedom Fiends, the Anarchy Gumbos, all that, and making everything work. I lost some email. We lost some comments. If you comment on the blog, you may have to get approved for one post again. I don't know how that works. But so I moved everything over, and all of a sudden, this week, we're getting like three times as much throughput or more. Like, you know, I don't know if it's pod beef stuff or if it's what it is, but we are really getting a lot. And I want to welcome Kyle Bennett said the reason was, he said, because I've been clicking on the website nonstop waiting for Mr. Vedati to come back.
Is that it?
Which wouldn't actually do that, but, you know, it's MP3 downloads that have tripled. So, and I also want to welcome our newest radio affiliate in Sumtown, USA. We're broadcasting today for the first time on, let's just call it for the sake of anything, WQUK, the Quaker.
WQUK.
The most powerful station in the Tri-Yard area. And, yep, that's happening. So we can't cuss anymore. We can't cuss anymore, man.
Oh, man. Well, we go off and back and forth. Like, we're always trying to not cuss, and then we do anyway.
Sorry. It's just habit, man.
Yeah.
I'll try not to.
It's a hard one to kill. So back to the remote control drone.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to do anything like a camera on one of your radio control units or what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cameras aren't all that remarkable. The YouTube videos that were
amazing,
posted a while back.
Yeah.
The big thing that they did that was remarkable, it wasn't that they put a camera on an RC plane. It was that they put an extremely high definition camera on an RC plane. You give me the money, I could build you a model plane that would fly totally autonomously. I mean, I could fly it, you know, basically within the range of the plane. I mean, the thing's only going to have a 10 or 15 minute flight time, most likely.
That's enough to get something across a border.
It is, but not very much. It's what, you know, that was a big thing after 9/11. We kind of came under attack as modelers that everyone was saying, oh, what would happen if somebody put a bomb on these things? We need to outlaw them. Well, sure. I mean, yeah, you could put like two M80s on one. They don't have that much payload. I mean, you can get some pretty big model planes anymore, but even so, say
the amount of weight they can carry isn't that much.
Yeah, the amount of weight they can carry isn't that much. You know, a large part of the weight that they can carry is taken up with the gear that it takes to fly them, the engine, the radio gear, etc. But it's, you know, not that somebody couldn't do it. It just, there's far easier ways that you could do it far better for way less money. Now, as far as surveillance, I mean, you know, somebody could do that. Weaponizing one, that would be a trick.
Okay.
Or have you smuggling seen any with kind one of would be a trick, too.
Have you seen any kind of federal regulations on the model hobby, I guess, so to speak, on buying planes and engines, anything like that?
that's kind of up in the air at the moment. The FAA is in the process of reviewing the rules. It might be finalized by now. I haven't been keeping up on it. Mm-hmm. The FAA recently revisited the rules because of the drone industry. There are a lot of private companies that are developing drones and so on. And these things are flying around. And previously, the only FAA regulation on any unmanned plane was the regulations that apply to model planes. And there basically aren't any. Don't fly too close to an airport was pretty much the main thing.
People used to fly them at airports. I recently saw this documentary about the history of the Van Nuys Airport, which is in California. We used to go to a shooting range right across the street from it. But it's like the premier private plane. You know, it's where all the rich people's little jets fly out of. And people used to go there to play with their model planes, radio controlled planes on the tarmac when planes weren't flying, and the people were cool with it. Oh, back then. Yeah. Try that now.
No, you can. You really? Actually can. And like really? like a small town airport, if you get permission from the person that runs the airport, you can fly at an airport. They actually have competitions a lot of times, big gatherings, fly-ins and stuff. They have them at airports purposely just so that they have a huge runway.
Wow. Nice. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll revisit that if we get any callers. Nima, did you What's notice up? that anti-war radio is no more?
Yeah, I was bummed. Like 10 minutes before the show, I saw that in my email and I was like, man, because I mean, any listener of Freedom Fiends knows that that's one of my favorite shows to listen to is Scott Horton. And I mean, I guess he's still doing his thing. He's still got the Scott Horton show. I'm wondering if maybe it won't affect, you know, his LRN show at all. I guess that remains to be seen. I'm not sure. But I'd still love to hear him talk to people on the LRN feed and all that. Do you know anything about if that's going to still happen?
I got this moments before we started. You know, it came over the wire. and I didn't have time to have
anarchist wire.
I didn't have time to have my staff vet it. So I don't know. But it seems like he's still going to be doing the Scott Horton show now. His new show, but
Feels like he's just not going to get paid from antiwar.com, and he's not going to have the antiwar.com brand or the antiwar radio brand anymore.
And I guess the website's going to continue, and they cut him because of budgets, maybe, which seems weird. It'd see like you know, it'd be like you know, if the Tonight Show had budget cuts, so they you know replaced
Jay Leno, the leader of the band.
They replaced Jay Leno with like Skeet Ulrich or something, you know, or just got rid of Jay Leno and just had the band.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the star, man. Scott. Yeah.
Although, I mean, from what I read, it doesn't look like they're going to have any anti-war radio. So no podcast coming out of antiwar.com anymore. At least maybe, that's what it
seems. Maybe the like Central Scrutinizer threatened him or gave him the threat of silver or lead.
Well, you'll notice, you know, they always do a fun drive. It's kind of like PBS for anarchist or anti-war people. Antiwar.com, like four times a year, they do a fundraising drive. Maybe they just didn't get enough funds for one of the drives or something. I don't know.
Maybe the anarchists just don't care anymore. If you listen to one more second of anti-war radio without making a donation, you're stealing.
They've never gone that far, but they do, you know.
That's kind of how PBS does it.
Yeah.
That's from The Simpsons. Yeah, it is. A lot of things are from The Simpsons episodes. Yeah. So I posted a picture of Abbie Hoffman flipping off the camera while smiling and holding a gun. You know, Abbie Hoffman, the revolutionary lefty anarchist from the 60s who wrote mm-hmm. Steal This Book. And mm-hmm. I said, I decree this day to be Hug a Lefty Anarchist Day. And, you know, someone said, how can an anarchist decree something? And I said, I'm decreeing it to myself. It's up to you whether you want to do it or not. But I want to make that a movement. Hug a lefty anarchist. You know, there's a lot of fighting. They don't think we're real. We don't think they're real. But hug one of them.
I like I'm decreeing this to myself as a movement. Everybody should make their own decrees.
I decree that everyone should make their own anarchist decrees.
There you go.
Yeah.
Says the anarchist Central Scrutinizer.
Relish Ubiquitous said, Michael, I still have some lefty anarchist in me, but listening to the Fiend show has been slow therapy to cure me of this misguided thinking.
I still don't understand what the definition of a leftist anarchist is. Maybe we should talk about that a little more coming up.
They want to take all your property. Or they think you'll voluntarily
abolish the state and abolish property.
They think you'll give it up voluntarily. But the thing is, you know, anarcho-capitalists are usually armed, so good luck.
Hi, I'm Nima Vidotti from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vaporsmith's electronic cigarettes. I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters would wet their pants if I smoked.
Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax-eater conglomerate.
I'm Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and I love Vaporsmiths. I smoked 3 packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for decades, but now I'm only using Vaporsmiths. I love the flavors, I don't smell like smoke, and I save money, so I have more to spend on ammo and treats for my kitties.
Available in 4 strengths and 10 delicious flavors. Reds, classics, Turkish, menthol, strawberry, cherry, vanilla, coffee, minty mint, and cloves. Go to Vaporsmiths.com. Use coupon code FREEDOMFIEND to get 25% off your order. This is a limited time offer. Vaporsmiths. At Vaporsmiths.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Should decisions on what you put in your body be left up to people whose very job depends on keeping certain plants illegal? Or do you believe in freedom of ingestion? The Janome Project is a cannabis science community founded by a leading DNA scientist. We fight ignorance with information. We don't have all of the answers, but we put all of our proceeds into finding them. If this requires sequencing the genomes of a forbidden plant, we've done it. If it requires leaving the country for the free pursuit of science, we've done that as well. The Janome Project is an ongoing crowdsourced experiment in free pursuit of the truth on cannabinoid sciences. Join us and participate in studying Mary Jane's genome. Get the app by searching Jane-Ohm on iTunes. The app is only $1.99 and all proceeds go to furthering and disseminating scientific truth. You must be 17 or older to download the app. Search Janome on iTunes. That's Jane-Ohm.
It's the Freedom Fiends. We are back live on the air. This is a call-in show, so you can call us at 307-215-5171. That's 307-215-5171. Or you can email us at talkback@freedomfiends.com. I'm Nima Vidotti. On the other end is Michael W. Dean and Justin. What's up, guys?
Worms.
Hey.
Hey. You gotta speak up a little there.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's sexy.
Can you hear me? On your knees, you dirty hippies. I just wanted to say that on the air.
Yeah.
It's catchy, isn't it?
It is. It is rather catchy.
You know, I was looking at some website on Facebook that's like for military families, and it's not just like military families supporting each other in their times of trouble. It's like military families like slamming and slandering people who are anti-war. And the word they use for anybody who's anti-war on that site is hippies. You know, regardless of whether you're like have short hair and you're in a suit and you have a, you know, doctorate from Lou Rockwell's college or something, you know, you're a hippie.
They just stole that from Vietnam. They should think up their own word.
I know.
The thing is, if you're not anti-war, then you're pro-taxes. So tell that to all your white right-wing friends.
Oh, right-wing friends are fine with taxes for war.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. Damn people.
I feel like they don't get it, though. I mean, they're always calling for lower taxes, but higher military spending. I don't see how they can hold those two contradictory ideas in their head at the same time.
They've never made the connection that the only money the government has is the money they've stolen from us.
Yeah. And the lefties do that too. They just think the government has money to give out. It's just theirs.
You know, there's
that lady.
Go ahead.
just like that lady saying Obama was going to pay her rent.
There's like four basic truths that all libertarians and anarchists, or at least anarcho-capitalists, believe that, I mean, I think are just common sense, but when you say them to the average statist, they sound insane. You know, it's like using the word, like when you use the word kidnapped and cage to describe arrest and imprisonment, they're like, what? What are you talking about? But the basic truths are like, you know, all laws are enforced at the barrel of a gun. Democracy is 51% tyrannizing 49%. The government doesn't have any money. It steals it, prints it, mm-hmm. or borrows it. You know, those are like basic truths. And some large percent of the world, of America at least, left and right, just can't wrap their head around that stuff. But you can teach it to a child. You've taught it to your little brother, your little 10-year-old brother, right?
Yeah, and I'm trying to teach it to my brother-in-law now. The other day we were driving complaining about seatbelt laws, and I was like, I just don't want people pointing guns at me telling me to put on my seatbelt. And he's like, but that's not what they do. And I said, no, that is what they do. Yeah.
No, they don't necessarily point a gun at you. They just tax you.
Well, they point a gun at you, too. I mean, if you get pulled over, you know, the progression is, if you don't obey a nanny law, they pull you over, they try to ticket you. You know, if you don't do it, you know, either by saying, I'm not taking that piece of paper, I'm not going to pay that, you know, the cop is going to pull out, he's going to say, step out of the car, sir. And if you don't, he's going to point a gun at you.
Yeah,
and
eventually you're going to wind up with a gun to your head.
And then put you in a cage.
Yep. If you don't submit at some point, they will escalate it. And they feel that they have the right to point a gun at you, and they're morally obligated to do so. And that's really what the state is that thing in their head that says, well, if this person doesn't comply with this nanny law, then I can escalate it as far as I want to because I have the authority.
Yeah.
So that's what we need to be educating people against. And it's really weird because when I was in Washington State, I was sort of in my own little bubble. Most of the people I was talking to are you, Michael, and people on the internet. And now that I'm in Texas and meeting family and I've been sort of off the grid, you know, out of the circle of internet and just talking to people I know, real people, I sort of have to explain that stuff every day. And I'm like, I guess I do explain this every day because I'm on the internet, you know, and on Freedom Fiends. But it's weird when you're explaining these ideas to people who are first hearing them. You sort of got to go back to basics.
You mean talking to real people instead of on the internet? Yeah, I don't do a lot of talking to real people. I don't talk to real people. I mean, I do in one direction. I kind of look at all my web work as a radio station. I don't want to hear what people have to say back to me. I don't care.
Well, you do. That's why you wanted to do a live call-in show, right?
No, you wanted to do a live call-in show, and then I didn't want to, and then I said, okay, let's do it, and you said, yay.
Yeah.
But I like it. I like doing it. I do.
Yeah, you do. You do.
Yep.
It's nice to have feedback, and I mean, we rarely get statists who call us anyway, do we?
No. Although I like the picture I have on the live call-in show page of freedomfiends.com. It's like some guy with short hair in a suit who kind of looks like Glenn Beck screaming into a telephone. We've yet to have that guy call in, you know, that kind of person.
Right. I've got a Facebook chat of somebody who's listening, and he says that as far as the left people, you know, not understanding where money comes from, and right people, you know, being pro-war but anti-taxes, or at least pretending to be. He says it's all in the discretionary spending, and folks that he knows are really turned off by the word anarchy, which we've talked about before. Any recent thoughts on what to call ourselves?
No.
I like anarchy. I like pinpricking statist. I like saying, I'm an anarchist, so what? So what? Prove that your statism is superior to my anarchism. I would like to see you try.
Yeah, I've come to not really embrace but accept using that term for myself. I don't know.
It seems correct to me. It's the absence of rulers, and that's the basic idea. It's not the absence of rules, which people mistake it for. But I think if you say I'm an anarchist and you're, you know, a fairly clean cut, well spoken guy that somebody respects, people, they kind of cock their head and they want to know more. I think it's a good way to open the door. You know,
I'm not clean cut though. I mean, I think I am in my mind, but like people think I dress really weird and look really weird. I posted this picture the other day. It's an older picture of me when I had my FAL rifle, standing in the backyard, leaning up against a tree, smoking a cigarette with a FAL. And I'm wearing like a kind of cool, weird print hipster shirt that has like a drawing of a lion on it. And then I'm wearing camo shorts and sneakers. And I posted it the other day on this like kind of NRA type web forum on Facebook that someone invited me to. And the comments were horrible. I mean, they were like, oh, this is horrible. Take this off here. I can't believe you posted this. And one was like, I'm glad you found time away from cooking meth to pose for this picture. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. I don't touch drugs, but maybe they thought I looked like the guy in Breaking Bad or something. It was when I was a little thinner.
Fiend phone.
And I had a fiend short phone. Hair. But
Fiend phone.
Well, we got a fiend phone.
Hang on, Chandler. Let me finish this thought. And like, you know, one of the Podbeef complaints about me was like that I posted on the website Libertarian Punk, and someone's like, anyone who combines punk with libertarianism is an idiot, you know, like and like on that gun site, I was like, what do I need to like gain 50 pounds and wear a cowboy hat before you guys will like pictures of me with my guns? Because that's what the rest of the pictures were on that forum.
Yeah.
Chandler, what's up? Hey,
not much, man. What's up?
Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
We're doing an interview with you soon, aren't we?
Yeah. We're wicked excited to have you guys on.
What day and how can people listen to it? What's it called?
It's July 17th, Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time on Blog Talk Radio. And the show is called Brush Fires of the Mind.
Cool. We're going into a break here. Do you want to stick around for afterwards?
Absolutely.
Cool, man.
Awesome.
Worms. Come on, Nima.
I love that.
You know, you could just let it ride, right?
Worms.
Let it breathe.
I don't know. You've been talking a lot today, and I've been just kind of like laying back because I took a hippie Valium before we started.
Turning on the river. Nice.
I'm still recording. So a hippie Valium, we're off the air right now, but I'm still recording for the archives. So a hippie Valium is like these over-the-counter, what are they? Melatonin and tryptophan. And very rarely.
Is that the stuff in turkeys?
Yeah.
Tryptophan, you know, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's an amino acid, but if you take a lot of it, it makes you sleepy. And it was 6 a.m. this morning. I knew we were doing a show. I knew I had company coming over. And I was not sleepy. So I took one and went to sleep. It was good. But it makes me kind of dopey, you know. By the second hour, I'll be like talking over all of y'all. But I'm like, right now.
Can you guys have more than one caller in at a time?
No,
I didn't think so. Because Diana, the lady I do the show with, she wants to call in too.
She can call in after. Is she there with you?
Yeah, that's what I'll tell her.
Is she there
with
you?
No, she's in another state. All three of us that we're scattered.
Cool. Country. Well, let's chat with you on the break and then open it up for her to call in.
How long do we have for our break, guys?
This does go out on the feed. I mean, on the MP3. Let me check the break clock here. Let's see what we got.
Which is over halfway to its goal of 20,000 participants. And they're already making the move to
New Hampshire. It's a four-minute break. No, it's a three-minute break.
And are proving the Free State Project is a real movement.
4 minutes and 10 seconds. So it's just a great idea.
When you're planning your move,
it's over at 3:30.
Keene is famous for its civil disobedience and non-cooperation. And there's plenty of political opportunity as well.
We got a couple minutes here.
From demonstrations and business,
so you know, I get this ongoing thing with this guy who's he's a restore bottom up government, you know.
Ew.
Non-partisan
square.
Oh man, I'm telling you. And you know, he's like, we've been going back and forth. He says I'm dangerous, this and that and the other thing. And you know, today he finally come out and said, well, what you want is anarchy and what I want is blah, 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 blah. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, they say like anarchy, like it's a dirty word. I mean, that is really a dirty word to most statists because it's just they can't comprehend not having some state because they worship it.
Well, I don't understand. Like the natural progression seems to be towards anarchy or voluntarism or whatever, because, you know, I started off conservative and libertarian and anarchist and now anarchist.
Yeah,
and
me just too. Seems like I started Democrat and then went to conservative and did the rest of that.
Democrat.
Although I was an anarchist since I was a kid, really. I just was confused by my state upbringing, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a lot of anarchists are that way. I mean, looking back, I would have to say the same thing. I've always been...
I mean, you saw that picture of me in 1989 at an anarchist convention in San Francisco, right?
Yeah. I think the first time I met an anarchist was at Freedom Fest in 1994. But I can't remember clearly because we were all tripping on acid so hard that it's kind of a blur. But he was an interesting cat.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com. That's why we're very upset about freedomfiends.cz. Freedomfiends.cz is a Liberty Media archive of Freedom Fiends material hosted in the Czech Republic. Freedomfiends.cz is outside the jurisdiction of the Watchers, who employ me, the Central Scrutinizer, to keep you from hearing things that might make you think. My fellow scrutinizers and I do not want you to visit freedomfiends.cz. Do not visit freedomfiends.cz.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
But yeah, man, people around here are totally, totally wigged out when you start talking about anarchy, you know?
And where are you at, Chandler?
In Maine.
In Maine, really? I figured people were pretty libertarian out there.
They are. I mean, Ron Paul has a pretty big following up here.
Yeah.
So that's what it, why it kind of surprised me.
Are you in Portland?
No, he's in Maine.
No, I'm about, Portland, Maine. I'm about 60 miles north of that. I'm in Augusta, the capital.
I played in Portland, Maine at some pizza parlor that used to have punk rock shows. Is that place still there?
Could be. I don't go into the city very often.
This is like 20 years ago.
Yeah, I live out in the country, like in the middle of nowhere, so.
Cool.
You know. Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Get to shoot guns and do whatever. We don't get hassled.
Liberty Radio Network.
Nice. Cool. We're gonna let you go. Email your friend and tell her to call in now.
That shows.
Okay.
And we'll talk. And we're looking forward to doing your show, man.
Hey, Nima, totally. Call me. Call me on Skype after the show. I want to talk to you about those soundbite stuff.
Okay. Sure.
All right.
Worms.
Bye, guys. Worms.
So here at Freedom Feeds Live, we talk even when we're off the air. Some of it goes into the archives that comes out a few hours after the show.
Yeah. Good stuff, too.
Yeah.
Not just us talking about going to the bathroom and getting another beer. It's actually more content if you download the thing and not just listen to us live. And download the Wednesday show, too, because that's usually pretty good.
So did you hear about this Florida lifeguard that got fired for saving someone's life, not in his zone? You know, like he was hired to guard this certain part of the beach, and just over the line of where he was supposed to guard, someone was drowning, and he ran over there and saved the guy's life, and he got fired for it. I blame the government.
They have unions?
I don't know, man, but I blame the government. It's got to be some kind of it is a regulatory thing. You know, it's an insurance thing. Which, like,
you know, even if he knew he was going to get fired, if I was in his shoes, I would have still done it. I'd been like, okay, whatever, I'll absolutely get fired. But I could see there being an instance where this is going to create more of a culture where the lifeguards are like, well, that's not my zone.
I know.
Like, oh, well,
I know.
Well, yeah. Jimmy or Susie over there, she's on, that's her zone and she's on break. Oh, well, not my zone.
Not my zone.
Not my zone.
Yeah.
You know, it's just ridiculous. I mean, wasn't there a thing a while back where there were firefighters, I want to say somewhere in California near San Francisco, and there was somebody drowning, and what the firefighters were like, well, it's not our job or it's not our jurisdiction, so they just let them drown?
Yeah, and people always say, well, you know, we need the government because, you know, who would put out the fires and do the firemen's work? And it's like they don't even do it all the time in this reality.
In this reality.
You like that?
Maybe in the other universe, in universe 17 of the multiverse, that's where they do it.
Yep. So did we talk about our downloadable QR code stickers for Guns and Weed and Freedom Fiends?
We did. Yeah, we talked about it on the Wednesday cast, I believe.
Okay.
But go ahead and give people a refresher because more pimping of the fiends is always good.
Well, we got these codes, you know, the little weird, like non-barcode type things that you can scan on your smartphone and they take you to a website. We got those now for Freedom Fiends and Guns and Weed. And if you go to the Freedom Fiends website and scroll down a couple posts, there's a link to where to download them, and you can print them or just use them on the internet and enjoy them. They're Creative Commons, as is all our stuff. You can do whatever you want with it, you know. You can use it to make fun of us if you want. You can take a Fiends episode and edit me out and replace me with fart noises if you want. We don't care.
Mr. Just like Abstracto Nemo. Has contacted us on TalkBack and says his term he likes to pimp is non-aggressionista instead of anarchist.
Yeah.
Non-aggressionista. What you think about that one,
Michael? Anytime you add anista at the end, you're
gives people a bad taste in their mouth.
Yeah. It's a commie radical thing.
Yeah. I've mentioned the one non-aggressionist before. I just don't – it doesn't stick enough for me, I guess, because it has a non in front of it.
I don't really I don't put a lot of thought personally into the label anymore. I've sort of begrudgingly embraced anarchist. And I'm begrudging about it because while it is fun that it does poke people, it – gives people a wrong impression. They either think you're violent and want to blow things up, or they think that you're a communist because, you know, the original anarchists were lefty. You know, I mean, like the Russian Revolution was basically heading toward anarchy with communist ideas in mind. So whatever that means.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't think about that much anymore. And it's a game that we can all play and I'll enjoy and I'll jump in when people want to play it. But, I don't know. I've kind of moved on from that. I think I've kind of moved on from politics. I mean, I did an Anarchy Gumbo the other day, an interview with Nikki Darling, and a lot of people said it was the very best Anarchy Gumbo they'd ever heard. And I thought about it and I was like, part of that's because she's brilliant, but part, and she talked about sex and silver and how great both of them are, porn and silver. But part of it is just, we didn't talk about politics hardly at all. And I'm not saying, you know, let's ban it on the Fiends, but I'm just saying, like, there's a lot to talk about from a freedom perspective without talking about politics at all.
Yeah I think so. I mean, I've completely tuned out of the whole presidential race and anything going on there.
Isn't that over? Isn't Romney president now? I thought Romney won.
Might as well be.
I don't know. I have no idea.
We gotta wait till November won. But it doesn't really matter if it's Romney or Obama, so why even plug into the system?
Tune in, turn on, drop out, man.
Yeah, or the opposite.
Which is what?
I don't know. Drop in, tune out, fuck it.
You can't swear, man.
Oh, Beep. Damn it. Oh, shit. Oh.
You can say damn it.
I could say damn it? Okay.
Yeah, that's what? Allowed on WQUK.
Is there a new list? I feel like there's new things you can say and stuff. It feels like the F word and the S word is the only things you can't
Well,
say.
Actually, I think that there was an FCC ruling recently that basically said they can't fine people for swearing on the air. But, I'll believe it when I see it. That's the kind of thing where it's like, well, a court says so, but we like doing that. We like fining people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to poke the beast.
No. Beasts poke back, man, and they have better toys to do it with.
Yeah, bigger teeth.
And, you know, there's people who'd say, you're a statist because you don't want to poke the beast. But, all right, see you in Gitmo, y'all. Have fun in Gitmo. I poke the beast 24/7. What do you think we're doing right here, man?
I don't know. I bet they have table tennis at Gitmo, though. That might be fun.
Yeah, they have table tennis. They have soccer. Yeah, they got all sorts of nice stuff. Right wingers are complaining because, like, taxes are paying for that. But it's like so little of the budget goes to that. You know, they're not complaining about the existence of Gitmo. They're complaining that they spent $29.95 on a soccer ball, you know?
Yeah, seriously. About the people who are getting their pension and their giant salary that's bigger than a private sector salary for just sitting in a desk at Gitmo.
If Jesus had lived today, future Christians would wear little silver drones around their neck. I said that.
Why is that, Michael?
Shaul Newman said, man, that is so worms, which is a new – I like that. Man, that is so worms.
A new way of using worms?
Yeah.
That's so worms.
To even confuse people more.
Well, because it's the opposite of that, so square, right?
Yeah, that is so worms.
So worms.
Yeah.
That's worms to the max.
Yeah. So we have a contest here. What are we going to do for a contest? It's to give away 1 month free of our VPN, Bola VPN, B-O-L-E-H VPN, which is a virtual private network, which allows you to surf the web anonymously, which is a very good thing to be able to do in this day of central scrutinizing.
What do you want to do for the contest?
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, we've already done have people review us.
Let's do something we could do today.
Today.
Like, how about the next caller? Today. The next caller gets 1 month free from Bola VPN, which is a very good service.
We have to do like a number. We have to do like a caller number nine or something.
It's a very, we don't get nine callers, man. We have a lot of listeners, but they don't call in that much because they're all privacy freaks. But this is for the privacy freaks. You know, if you want to send me an encrypted email, the first encrypted email we get, it's got to be a phone call. You got to call in.
Well, which is it now? Because we're going to.
It's call in.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So
first
the
caller.
Next caller
wins a month free of Bola VPN virtual private networking, which is BOLEHVPN.net.
Which you can use to avoid the central scrutinizer, or it will help you avoid the central scrutinizer.
Yeah. You can't really avoid them. They can find you in your home.
I'm in my stepdad's house, right? Or not my stepdad. My father-in-law's house right now. And I told him I was going to be doing the live show, and he's like, well, is there any way the government can trace you there? Because you're going to be bashing the government, right?
Really?
And I'm like, I hope not, but I'm going to be on Mumbles.
Fiend phone.
We have a winner.
We have a winner.
Who's this, Fiend?
This is Lisa.
Hey, Lisa. Did you want to win a month free of Bola VPN virtual private networking?
Sure.
You got it. All right.
Yay.
Awesome.
Yay.
Can I be a family member and win?
No.
Oh, man.
I mean, we didn't announce that, but that generally, yeah, I forgot.
That would be a little disingenuous.
You're Nima's mom. Yep. Yeah. Well, we're going into a break here. Do you want to stay on and chat over the break for the archives?
Sure.
Cool.
Sure.
Where are you at, Lisa? What's up?
I'm at home.
Yeah?
I'm at home.
Yeah?
Just relaxing. Just got back from Austin visiting with Nima and his beautiful wife.
I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends.
Yay. Yay.
How do you feel being back in Houston now?
Ooh, I'm tired. I'm still recovering.
Nima's mom.
Don't you miss Austin?
I'm recovering.
Why don't you come back here? Come back live here.
I do miss Austin.
Yeah.
The weather is so much better.
Isn't it? Yeah. Come get some land out here. We'll all live on the land together. We'll grow some good tomatoes and homemade wine.
Sounds good. I'd like that very much.
Are you calling into the show because I didn't call you yesterday?
Yes. No. I knew you were busy moving. Did you get it all done?
No. Hell no. We still got so much to do. We're gonna try to build a wooden case for Yukon's cage. So his cage is gonna be steel bars and then a wooden frame around it. So Jessica dispatched me to the hardware store today, and it took me a couple hours to get all the lumber and get it cut and all that. So we've got a million more things to do.
It's a lot of work. It is.
I watched a great documentary, which
made me realize that we do need to get rid of the FDA.
Good. I'm glad you came around. What did the documentary, what did they say?
Well, it's called The Cancer Report, and it just goes mm-hmm. into all the different doctors throughout time who have found different ways to cure cancer and how, you know, the FDA would always go out and attack and make them out to be quacks. And, yeah. You know, it's mm-hmm. a very informative documentary. Very good.
Mm. Okay. Okay. It's called The Cancer Report.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cancer Report.
Well, I'll check it out. And definitely I encourage our listeners to check it out, too.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's put out by HealthWise. The word health and WYZE, and it also talked about a Indian tobacco, which was interesting. I think I'm going to order some, grow some.
Indian tobacco, like Dot Indian or Feather Indian, I guess is my question.
American Indian.
Feather. American tobacco. Indian. Okay, Feather Indian.
Feather or yes, Dot.
Right, and this tobacco is used for lung health.
Yeah, I think Michael had mentioned that a few casts ago about a certain tobacco that people prescribed for lung ailments.
Is your mom inserting ads here that are in contradiction with our Vaporsmith's ads?
Oh no, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
No, hey, we're free range. We're not free range.
I was kind of kidding.
I tried one of those and it was good. I actually took a puff of Nima's because he left it in our car.
Vaporsmith. That's vaporsmith.com. Use that's the coupon Vaporsmith. Code. The and coupon listen, code Freedom Fiend.
Listen, I took a puff of it and it was really good. And it had the coffee flavor.
Ah.
It tasted like that. I won't name the name. A certain coffee shop.
Starbucks?
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh. You could name that.
And it was like, wow, I could, actually smoke that instead of getting a coffee, which is, 500 calories?
Isn't there a place in Houston where there's four Starbucks on four corners? I've been to it.
Yeah.
Yep. Still yep. There?
It's by the Galleria. I don't know, yeah. Mom, have you been near the Galleria lately? Do they still have the four Starbucks in that little space?
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute.
I think we're about back here.
And become okay. An amplifier.
We're going to let you go here, Lisa.
That's amp.lrn. Okay.
Appreciate you calling. Call in anytime.
Thank you for calling, Mama. All right, I love you.
See you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Freedom Fiends. Freedom Moms.
The only libertarian podcast where my mom is a regular caller.
Let's see, as far as I know, the only Liberty podcast where a host mom is a caller. Not just your mom, but a mom.
Well, it depends on how you define caller. Well, yeah, I guess you're right. Although,
I mean, you ever heard Kai's Scott,
dad?
Kai's dad is the host, though. I mean, Kai's, yeah. Kai is the co-host with her dad. So, yeah, but she's off, having orgies at Ren Faire. So, she's
Kai,
not on the,
right?
She's not
not
on the
my
show.
Mom.
She's not on the show right now. Yeah, your mom is not having orgies at Ren Faire.
So Kai's into the whole Renaissance Fair kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
I went to one of those when I was a kid. I had fun. I remember the chicks with the giant boobs and the chainmail. It's good times.
Shows you how artsy I am. I didn't even know what a Ren Faire was until I heard that show.
Well, now you know. You learn something new every time you listen to Freedom Fiends, right?
Hey, I learn a lot.
Excellent. So, yeah, I don't even remember where we were. Oh, we still have a contest.
Yes.
My mom is disqualified because my mom's not allowed to win the contest on Freedom Fiends. Neither is Michael's parents or any relatives of his.
My relatives don't know I do this and would kind of be horrified if they did. Some of my relatives. Then my dad, can't click on a link. He doesn't know what to do. So
he could call a Skype number. It's a real number.
He can't call. Right. He could call on the phone and call in. I mean, remember one time he was calling while we were doing the show and I almost put him on the air, but I'd have to just hold it up to the phone. Dad, you're on the air. He would probably tell us how great Sarah Palin is and how she's going to save us from the Muslims.
Wow.
That is so square. Yeah.
I know we hate to talk about politics, but do you think Mitt would ever try to pick Sarah Palin as a VP? Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. That'd make for some good TV. I mean, I may start watching TV again near the election because it's like watching, football where both teams suck, but kind of like watching a car crash.
There you go. That's a better analogy. Or a train wreck. It's like watching something very interesting. Not necessarily that you are enjoying the outcome, but
it's a train wreck.
Ups and downs.
It's a train wreck that a lot of people believe in and want to wreck.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing about it, and when I was a kid, even before I was an anarchist, I always enjoyed watching SNL make fun of Clinton. In fact, whenever I thought of Bill Clinton in my head, I thought of Daryl Hammond, not the actual William Jefferson Clinton. And when Sarah Palin was in the news or when she was running for Veep, it was great to watch Tina Fey make fun of her. And so I'd like to see some more Tina Fey on SNL doing her Sarah Palin impression. I think that would be enjoyable, even as an anarchist.
Speaking of TV, there's a new show that I really want to recommend. It's called The Newsroom. It's on HBO. Have you seen it?
I was hoping you'd bring that up. I saw the last half of an episode yesterday. My mom, actually, and my stepdad were praising it. And yeah, it was okay.
It's kind of statist, but...
Well,
what is it,
bugged
man?
Me from the very beginning because there was an accuracy issue. In the very first bit of dialogue, they were talking about a Sarah Palin SOT. And my wife picked up on it first. She goes, SOT? Do they mean SOT?
I've Sound been in, on like, tape.
Yeah. But nobody in the business calls it an SOT. I've worked, you know, I interned at Austin at the TV station here, the cable news Time Warner station, 24/7. They called it a SOT. You know, in J school, they taught us to call it a SOT. In Wyoming, we all called it a SOT. In Washington, we all called it a SOT. Everywhere I've worked, every newsroom I've been in, they call it a SOT. So I don't know why they didn't.
That's interesting because Aaron,
what they called it.
That's written by Aaron Sorkin, who is one of my favorite writer TV creators. He did, Sports Night, which was a similar like on air, you know, newsroom on the air and behind the scenes and in the control room kind of show. He did Studio 60 at the Sunset Strip, which was, you know, basically another thing about TV, you know, took place in the control room and on the air and behind the scenes. That was an amazing show that I'm still trying to get you to watch. It's some of the best TV I've ever seen. It was kind of like, It was from the same network and around and on at the same time as 30 Rock, which was also about creating Saturday Night Live, but or a show like it. But it's way deeper and better and even funnier at times than 30 Rock. And Aaron Sorkin wrote The Social Network, you know, the movie about Facebook. He's really good.
Fiend Phone.
We've got Fiend a Fiend Phone. This could be a winner.
Fiend Phone.
Hello, Fiend. What's your name?
Hi, this is Kai's mom.
Hey, how you doing, Kai's mom?
Good.
This is Mrs. Quaker, huh?
This is Mrs. Quaker.
I'm sorry what I said about your daughter. Should I take it back?
No.
Okay, because I said that with her before when she was a co-host on here one day. We joked about orgies at Ren Faire.
That's perfectly cool with me.
Cool. What's up?
Not much. I just wanted to call and say... How's it going?
It's going excellent. Did you want to win a VPN? Do you know what a VPN is? Do you have a desire for one?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah? Although, sure. Actually, it's a mom. It's family of someone who's been on the show. I still don't know if we can do that. You know,
totally
sorry.
Totally understand.
I'm sorry. So,
that's okay.
How's Ben Quaker today?
Oh, Ben Quaker's good.
Yeah? Is he going to call in today?
I don't know.
He's busy playing with his dollhouse, isn't he?
Yep. Him and his dollhouse.
Yep. Yeah. Was there, somebody else just wrote in. I was going to call in, but I've already won a Fiend contest. So we're still waiting for the caller to win the VPN.
It's going to end up being the ninth caller. That's just the universe.
Yeah, I know. So tell us something good, Mrs. Quaker.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's hot and it's, you know. I'm ready for winter to already be here.
You're in Ohio, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I grew up pretty near there in upstate New York, the westernmost county, Chautauqua County. I mean, we could be in Ohio in 3 hours and used to go shopping there, so.
Yep. Originally from California, from the high desert.
Wow.
That's where I met the old man.
Yeah. How old were you and how old was he when you met?
15 and 18. We've been married almost 32 years.
Wow. Awesome.
Wow. So were y'all high school sweethearts then?
We were.
They were grade school sweethearts.
We pretty much.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Yep. When Ben talks about your marriage and how great it is, it reminds me of what I say about my marriage. Mine's only been 8 years, though. So ask me again in 28 years.
Yeah, eight years is a baby marriage.
Baby marriage. So what's 1.5 years? Is that a newborn marriage?
That would be a newborn.
You're practically still dating.
It's not still in utero.
True.
No, it's emerged screaming and crying and needs to be fed.
Exactly. Yep, it's wishing you had sleep, marriage.
Ah,
yeah, 10 years is the hump. If you can make it over 10 years, and then you're doing all right.
That's right. Every 5 years, you get more comfortable.
Awesome. So, what's fun and nifty to do in Ohio?
Absolutely nothing.
You almost made me spit soda on my microphone.
I'm not a real
man.
Fan of Ohio. The first year we were here, we had the major huge snowstorm, and we actually broke our wood stove, cast iron wood stove. We cracked it because it was so hot.
Wow.
Well, if you could, you and Ben could live anywhere in the world, well, fine, anywhere in the solar system, where would it be?
No, probably Arizona-ish, something like that.
Are you thinking of moving? I heard Ben say that you're maybe thinking of moving somewhere.
We absolutely are.
Where?
Oh, Arizona-ish. Somewhere towards New Mexico, Arizona. Although we're getting ready to have our first grandchild.
Yay. I used to own some land in New Mexico. I wish I could have sold it to you guys. It was it was like land I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. I used to own a third of an acre of rattlesnake property in
rattlesnake is awesome to eat.
Like 80 miles from Roswell, New Mexico, in a place where there's no electricity and no water. And I sold it to someone for $650 so I could buy an AK-47. I've never seen the land. Like my great uncle won it in a card game and then willed it to my dad, and my dad gave it to me for my birthday one year. Like, son, I want you to own some land. I looked it up on Google Images, Google Skyview or whatever, and it was like, it looked like the surface of the moon without sagebrush. Where I live now, it looks like the surface of the moon with sagebrush.
That's funny, because we actually own acreage in Arkansas.
Ah, nice.
That we bought probably about 8 years ago. Never seen the property.
Ah.
Bought it off of eBay.
eBay. Awesome. Awesome. Yep. Did you have pictures of it?
We do. We have pictures and you know, the whole layout of it and everything. And
a congressman recently revealed that legislation.
So we're out now. We're
what are
y'all
planning on doing with it? My mom was actually looking into buying land in Arkansas. They found some acreage out there that had a creek running through it, and they were gun ho for it, but somebody bought it out from under them. I hear it's real nice out there.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, I'll let you guys go.
Good. Thanks all for right. calling in. Calling anytime.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Mrs. Quaker.
Awesome. Mrs. Quaker. Live. It's Freedom Fiends Live. Y'all know what it is. You can call in. The next caller does win a contest, because everybody who's called in since we announced the contest has been family
friends
members.
Family.
Friends of the Fiends. So if you don't know us personally, call us at 307-215.
I mean, you can be someone that's called in before. You know, you can be someone that knows us in the sense of, like, in the same sense that I have 1,800 friends on Facebook.
right. If we don't really share blood with you.
I really have about 8 friends in the world, and 2 of them are in my house right now, and 1 of them is on the other end of this line.
I'm honored, Michael.
Thanks.
But yeah, so it's not just me. Back to that show you were praising, Newsroom. I Googled it, and there's a Twitter feed of other reporters complaining about it too. Like Jeff Simon at JJ Simon CNN. I'm guessing he works for CNN. Says, note to people who don't work in TV, SOT is short for sound on tape or a soundbite. It's used for brevity. It's not an SOT, because that would not be brief. You don't say sound on tape, because that's the same. You don't say SOT because it's the same amount of syllables as sound on tape. You just say SOT.
I don't know. I think sometimes on TV shows they do that on purpose, just to separate the real experts on whatever from the posers that just learned it from the TV show. Because I'm kind of a geek. I know just enough about almost everything to get myself in trouble. And just a flaming know-it-all. And I mean, I pick up so many technical incongruencies on TV. I can't even watch TV. It just infuriates me.
Yeah. 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 I rarely watch TV, but I've been watching it lately because I've been at family's house who actually pay for cable. Like, that's why we don't watch TV, because we don't want to pay the $100 a month for cable. We'd rather just pay 30, $35 and get internet and watch what we want.
That's not the real reason I don't watch TV. I don't watch TV. But no, my wife complains because we'll be watching a show and something will happen and I'll go, bullshit. And she, could you just quit and watch the show, you know?
Well, I have that problem with gun stuff on TV and movies. It's often inaccurate. Although the past year or two, it's been getting better. It really has. Although now whenever they're using proper gun handling, whatever, it's always military style, proper gun handling.
Not fiend style.
Yeah.
Is that where you point your rifle at the back of the guy's head that's in front of you all the time?
No, that's where you don't do that. But it's like, you know, whenever you see somebody that's a Fed goon with an AR-15 with their finger in a glove along the side with proper trigger control, it's always accurate now, or almost always accurate now. But, you know, it's Fed goon style, like everything about the way that they move and the way that they
I still feel like I see a lot of TV posters and stuff like that where they have their fingers on the trigger instead of along the side. I still see that all the time.
Yeah. And also, another thing that you see a lot, well, it's something you hear a lot, is whenever someone moves a gun, it makes a sound like a gun being, it's a combination of racking a rifle and like, you know, chambering on a revolver. I think they mix those two sounds or something.
Yeah. They have like a gun sound button that somebody in a back room presses every time a gun moves.
Well, there's actually, I know a Hollywood sound guy, this guy named Dave Bach, B-A-C-H. I know two Dave Bachs. One is B-O-C-K, who makes Bach microphones, who was the engineer on the first bomb record. And Dave Bach, B-A-C-H, who works for, he does all the sound on all the Adam Sandler movies and a lot of other stuff. He's really, you know, in demand pro guy. I knew him for a long time since San Francisco, since before he did that, but he did the sound really inexpensively for me as a favor on the Cubby movie, the Selby movie. And, I sat in with him when he did it and a lot of it. And there's like a lot of the sound effects in Hollywood come from this set that costs like, I don't know, $18,000 or something. It's like 200 data DVDs of audio. You know, they've got like three data DVDs of dog sounds. I mean, that's and you know, like two of guns and one of explosions, and a data DVD can hold thousands of clips of audio. But it's called Hollywood Edge, and every Hollywood sound man uses this. I mean, some of them go out and make their own stuff too, but Hollywood Edge is the thing that everyone uses. And so you hear a lot of the same sounds over and over in movies. Yeah. Like one is in comedies, whenever there's a sound of something being thrown and then it hits a bunch of trash cans and then you hear a cat going, like it's the same cat.
That's
going,
classic. Okay.
And then there's another one that's whenever they show a city abandoned at night and the hero's walking through a dangerous neighborhood or something, you always hear like dogs barking in the distance, and it's almost always the same dog barking in the distance.
That dog's probably been
What about the
years.
Whoosh sounds? Because I feel like every reality show and every show on Fox uses the same whoosh sounds.
Well,
like
see,
whenever they change whoosh.
Yeah, and then there's more subtle, like kind of bass whooshing sounds, slower whooshing sounds on a lot of like CSI type stuff. That crap annoys the hell out of me. There's an interesting story with Dave Bach, and Dave Bach was, when I first moved to LA from San Francisco, I was like, I didn't know anybody. And I was like, well, I know my friend Dave Bach, B-O-C-K, the microphone maker, lives down here. So I called up, information, and I said, yes, I'm looking for the number in Los Angeles for Dave Bach. And she's like, yes, here's the number, and gave me the number. And it was Dave B-A-C-H. And actually, I'd never met him. I mean, he knew who I was. I knew who he was before, but we didn't connect or anything or know anybody, you know, like know who we were. And so I called the wrong Dave Bach, and I was like, hey, Dave Bach, what's up? This is Michael Dean from the band Bomb. And he goes, really? Hi, Michael Dean. And I said, is this Dave Bach from San Francisco? And he said, yep. And I said, is this Dave Bach, the sound engineer from San Francisco? And he said, yep. And I said, is this Dave Bach that's married to you know, the name of the other Dave Box wife. And he said, no, my wife's name is blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wait a minute. And we finally realized, you know, what had happened. It was, you know, I'd called up and got the number. Yeah. And I think someone's trying to call in, but we ended up being really good friends based on that, that wrong number.
Nice.
Yep.
Do we have a, why aren't we getting a Fiend phone? I heard it.
I don't know. I heard a little whoop. I don't know how this works, man. I don't know. Let's call somebody. Call somebody and have them win something. No, I'm kidding.
Well, here's a question. Okay, so we are pimping this VPN. We have a listener asking if it works with Tor. Do you want to address that, Michael?
It kind of replaces Tor. I don't know that it would work with Tor, but Tor is a proxy. And Bola VPN is a proxy with its own servers combined with a VPN for extra security. So using a proxy like Tor masks who you are searching something, but the VPN adds a layer of security that's not there in Tor. That's encryption. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if you work for the government, when you're working in the field and you have the laptop, you know, you're using a VPN to log in. Yeah, actually, anytime that you order something online and you get the little S, the secure HTTPS, like you're using your credit card site, you're going through their VPN for a minute.
I see.
Yeah.
So you would use, if you had this VPN, if you get the free month, if you call in and win it, you wouldn't suggest using Tor because you wouldn't need to. You would just do your thing, and it would slow you down a little bit. You said it's about 10% slower than it would
About 5% slower. Yeah. Although that's for general surfing slower. With there's different ways to configure it that take some work. That's if you just use it out of the box. There's some ways to configure it where you can configure it for individual programs to where it doesn't slow down at all. But you have to configure it for each program. Yeah. And then there's
With Tor, Tor would actually slow you down more than 5% and you wouldn't really be able to.
Right. Tor slows you down like 85%. And then also you can do things like, for instance, you know, Hulu is only available in America and like maybe one other country. If you have an IP address in a different country, you can't use Hulu. You can with a VPN if you use the server in that country. And you can also get around routing, you know, like when they block BitTorrent, you know, when ISPs block BitTorrent, you can get around this with this.
Really?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I'm definitely stoked to try it out. Once I'm settled in, I will be trying it out, and we're definitely going to get to some kind of in-depth review on that at some point in the future. For now, though, stay tuned. We've got plenty more Freedom Fiends Live coming up, so don't change that browser, I guess.
Yeah. Worms. Don't change that browser. Don't touch that browser. Or if you're listening on WQUK... The Quack.
The Quack.
In Ohio.
Tired of that same old government-free baklava.
What's up, fiends? This is your boy, Nima. This is the Freedom Fiends Live Show. It is our call-in show. Give us a call at 307-215-5171. We'd love to hear from you, so go ahead and do
Fiend
that.
Phone. Also, Fiend phone. Oh. Fiend phone.
Well, there you go.
Fiend phone.
We got a caller. Fiend. And we may have a winner.
Hi!
Hey!
Did you want? Did you who's calling?
Did you want to win? Do you want to win a VPN?
No. Actually, I will decline this awesome prize you have. I mean, it's real great. I mean, somebody should really call in and get it and enjoy it. I mean, I have other ways how to get over that, so I will be just wasting something that could be valuable for somebody else.
Well, you're kind of an Uber nerd, and I say that in a good way.
Thanks. Anyways, the reason why I'm calling today is I just learned really interesting thing, at least it was interesting for me, that do you know who is also fighting very strongly against the wheat legalization?
No.
It's not just the big pharma companies.
Who is it?
It's also breweries.
Who?
Breweries, yep.
Ah, yeah. Alcohol, the other drug.
Because, you know, when that stuff is out and legal, then, you know, it'll take lots of the market away from the beer and decrease the amount which people drink.
There was a rumor.
I've heard that, but no, you go ahead, Michael.
In the 70s, there was a rumor that the major tobacco companies had registered the trademarks of what were then some common names like Acapulco Gold, you know, of different kinds of pot. I don't know that that's true because in the United States, you can't park a trademark the way you can, like with a domain name. You know, you have to actually be using it. But that was the rumor, was that tobacco companies were thinking that marijuana was going to be legal any day. So they were preparing to sell it. But I don't know if that's true or not, but they probably would if they could. But I don't know. It's like, who would want to go to a tobacco company and get something with a tax stamp on it that's all rolled up and, you know, you can't play with it the way you want to, when you can just go to a, you know, pot dispensary and buy it like you're buying herbs from friendly people who believe in the product.
Yeah. Yeah. And the way I would imagine it, that I'd want to buy marijuana if it were legal, would be like from the bulk spice section of Whole Foods. You know, I just want to put a metal scoop in it and dump it into a grocery.
It's all about the market and convenience. So anyways, you would probably want to buy your wheat in the closest convenience store.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true too. But yeah, back to the brewers. I think the alcohol lobby was one of the opposing forces when California had its referendum to try to make recreational use of marijuana legal. Was it about a year ago that they did that, or 2 years ago? And the alcohol lobby was credited with spending money to fight against that. Although the thing I would say to alcohol lobbyists is, at least people from my generation, in my experience, if you smoke a little herb, you probably want a little alcohol to go with it too. So maybe they should focus on cross-marketing instead of fighting.
Well, yeah, you get cotton mouth, you got to have something to drink,
right? You got to have something to drink, right?
Well, that's what I've heard anyway a long time ago.
Yeah, some old hippie told me that.
Yeah.
Everyone's clearing
their
throat today.
It's like in the Looney song, the weed in my system is getting lonely, you know? it's pop culture. You got to have a drink.
Yeah.
But like if you look on the effects, then they're kind of antagonists. So like you have the effect of alcohol and the weed, they're going against each other. So I know that you maybe want to wash it out with beer, but I don't know how it'll affect the impact of the substances.
Yeah, well, from my experience and from what my friends say, they call it getting crossfaded. So it definitely has a synergistic effect if in the right dosage for each of them. I mean, on the other side of it, I remember whenever I used to try to, or I remember girls or females telling me that they get sick whenever they do that, like throwing up and having a very bad effect. And I guess the thing with marijuana is it seems to affect people in very different ways depending on the person. So I don't know how, I don't think there's a universal way of saying how mixing alcohol and marijuana would affect somebody, because everybody is unique.
Yeah, that's true. And it was few weeks ago when Michael had the interesting scientist guest in Gumbo talking all about the weed. So this pretty much explained there.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin is that's his name, right, Michael?
Yes.
Yeah, he's amazing, and I have not listened to that episode of the Gumbo yet, but I did listen to his interview on pork therapy, and so I'm definitely going to have to listen to that Gumbo episode too, so I can know a little bit more about what I'm talking about.
So, Václav, you're the admin of the drone-proof bunker in Prague, the freedomfiends.cz. How's that going?
I don't know. I think it's going quite well. I just realized that there are not really all the episodes of Gumbo, so I just editing them right now.
Ah, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, and the stickers are, I believe they are only on the in the archives, that they are nowhere else to be downloaded.
They are, well, we linked them on the Freedom Fiends and MichaelWDean.com and LibertarianPunk.com. They're linked and blogged about.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I just thought that they were just the small pictures, not the sheets, but whatever. You probably updated it.
I did. I updated it. Although maybe I lost that update because I moved everything over to a different server this week, and interesting problems arose that had nothing to do with where I was moving it to. Just that's the problems you get when you're moving massive amounts of data and five websites and five databases and et cetera. So you're a gun guy, right, Vaslav? You like guns?
Yeah, I do.
Do you have a Makarov?
Yeah, I do. I have that Russian lady.
I thought so. We have someone else here that's a fan of the Makarov. You guys want to talk about Makarovs, about the 9x18mm cartridge?
Well, he probably knows more about them than I do. Have you ever heard of a FAG PA-63 made in Hungary?
No, I never heard about that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I happen to have one of those. It's a clone of a Walther PPK is what it is. And, you know, like James Bond used to have in the movies, the old World War II German officer's pistol. And I don't know. I was pretty impressed with the thing. You can buy them dirt cheap over here.
Like $100 or something.
Yeah, $100-$150 at about any gun show. And they, I mean, they got a lot of features that you would pay a lot more for. If someone's looking, you know, for a weapon to carry, and they don't want to spend a ton of money. I mean, I love the thing. It's got a good safety on it, accurate, reliable. Hey, some good weapons come out of the Eastern Bloc if nothing else good came out of
it. What do you do for ammo? Do you buy like a big can in bulk, or can you get that caliber at any store or what?
You know, I bet you probably could get, you know, the surplus spam can ammo for it. I usually buy it at gun shows. You can buy Wolf ammo, you know, the green lacquered steel case stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when I carry it, I have Hornady XTP. You can actually buy some pretty high performance ammo for it, too.
Oh, nice. Cool. All right. Well, we got plenty more gun talk coming up on Freedom Fiends Live. So, yeah, don't change that browser. Go ahead and stick with us.
I like that. Don't change that browser. You want to stick around, Vaslav, for the break and talk to the archives?
If it's okay with you, I would like to.
Yeah, we'll have you on until the end of this break, and then we'll open it up for other callers.
Okay, great. Somebody needs to win that VPN.
I know. Yeah. VPNs are great. Talk a little about VPNs. You probably know more about them than I do.
I don't know if what you want to ask about. I mean, the whole security thing, I will be not sure about that. I would say that Tor is maybe better than the VPN combined.
Tor is slow, though, man. Tor is slow.
It's slow. You can't download torrents through it or anything, but it's more encrypted and more decentralized. With this VPN, you never know who under which demands will actually get your data.
But that's actually true of Tor also. Tor was actually invented by the U.S. Navy or the U.S. Air Force. I forget which. They invented it so people in places like Iran and Iraq could communicate when the government tried to shut down the internet. It's kind of ironic that the United States government is trying to help other countries avoid internet censorship while they're trying to censor our own internet here. There's actually a bill coming out or something that's voluntarily going into action from all the major ISPs in America starting like the first of next month, where they're actually going to proactively spy on traffic to look for BitTorrent stuff. You know, usually when people get lawyer letters and nastygrams for that, it's because people hired by the media companies, you know, will set up a website or set up
those fake trackers.
Yeah, the fake trackers. But anybody can set up a tracker for Tor, so it'd be possible for anybody to intercept traffic on it. So it's not more secure than a private VPN.
Yeah, but the data on it is going randomly from one point to another point, so they will never collect all the data. And actually, I think that Tor is open source, since anything which is created by the U.S. government is free domain, so everybody can access it, and the source code was changed. So I think that it's pretty safe. And with the VPN, it's another layer, but I think that combining VPN and Tor could be a good thing.
You know, there's another thing that people have a lot of questions about. First of all, Bola VPN has been running for 5 years. And it's a real nerd kind of VPN. So it's been vetted by a lot of users as being good and saying what it does is what it does. But there's an encryption software called TrueCrypt. Do you know TrueCrypt?
Yeah.
Have you used it? What do you think of it?
I'm using it actually. It's fine. I don't have any issues with it. Maybe it's a little bit slower than the BitLocker in Windows, but it's a great piece of software.
It is, and it works well, but I have heard theories that it's a honeypot created by the US government because there's some weird things about it. Like there's a team of people running it and they do updates constantly. They do as much work on it as people working at a corporation who are making a lot of money would do, but they do it free. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not legit. And one person in England was accused of having something. I don't know if it was state secrets or pornography or something, but they would not reveal their code to get into the TrueCrypted volume. And, you know, no government agency stepped forward and said, oh, we can get into that. But it might be just it wasn't worth that for them to do it. Like, you know, they're doing it to just spy on everybody and find other ways to bust people. Who knows?
Again, Michael, I think that the source code is available, so anybody can look through it. And maybe there is a hole in it, but there are people which will go through it and will look if there is something like that, and sooner or later that will be published. So I will not really believe to those rumors unless there is some source code proof.
Let's see. The TrueCrypt license, but they don't have they have a light. I don't know. Are they open source?
Yeah, I'm just looking at the Wikipedia page and there is license freeware source available.
Okay. So all right.
It should be. Can I just quickly ask what was the problem with DreamHost?
I'll say. TrueCrypt is from the Czech Republic, isn't it?
No, I believe it's not. Unless
the trademark TrueCrypt is registered in the Czech Republic. But they have an address in Nevada, USA, so I don't know. The problem with DreamHost was there were a couple problems. One was they used to be solid. I used them since 2006, but in the past year, they had a lot of downtime. Like, you know, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. Moreover, I was getting I was having a lot of errors that they said – I think we're back on the air. I was getting a lot of errors that said that they wrote me and told me, like, you know, you're using too much memory for your basic $10 a month thing. You need to get a VPS at – you know. And I started that at like $40 a month worth, and I was still getting the errors and had to go up to $75 a month to not get the errors. And I talked to Ben Stone from Bad Quaker, who was getting more throughput than we were getting, like 350 gigs a month. And he was getting like 1600 gigs a month with no problem on the 12. Yeah, on the 12.
I mean 350, that's very low. I mean,
yeah,
I don't want to, like, you know, judge your show by the amount, but just in general, it's not that much.
Well, it's a lot for some podcasts. I mean, most of the podcasts that I know of get less than that, but actually, I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, but we have like tripled or quadrupled. I mean, we've gotten three. Let me look.
Yeah, I mean, like for a podcast show, it's awesome. I'm just talking about bandwidth in general.
I mean, for $350 a month, I shouldn't have to have a VPN VPS is what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Let me look at the stats so far since I moved over to this company on July 4th. Which is 5, 6, 8, you know, 4.5 days, we've had 434 gigabytes. So we've tripled or quadrupled. You know, if that keeps up, we're golden.
That's awesome. You think that it was the result of the pod beef, or is there something behind it? Or those magical stickers
I think it could be both. And I think it could also be I never noticed this, but several Fiend fans told me that they had really slow downloading sometimes from the website, and we're getting a lot faster from HostGator. So I think it was like either people's podcatcher just would stop downloading, or it was people just didn't bother because they'd go try it and it would be slow. So now it's faster.
Yeah, that actually reminds me something what I want to ask you and the other listeners. If they can try the speed down of download from the archive
from Freedom Fiends,
how it differs in different
freedomfiends.cz. So people, please go to freedomfiends.cz and download a few MP3s and maybe the Guns and Weed movie, and let us know how your download speeds are.
Okay, great, thank you. And I mean, I wouldn't occupy this line anymore, so somebody could actually win.
All right, thanks a lot. Right. For calling in, man. Take care, boss. Love.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
Good night.
Goodbye and good night. You ever see that movie? Good night and good luck. I mean.
Yeah, I saw that a long, long time ago.
Turn up, Nima. You're not loud enough.
Not loud enough?
We need more Nima.
Okay. How's that? Is that too loud or is that good?
No, that's good. Although I'm still louder. I got to turn me down. Yeah.
Okay. Right,
here we go. Yep.
Live radio, baby. How you like that?
We want everything louder than everything else.
All live everything.
Yeah.
So, what's up with that? So HostGator's a lot faster, huh? For listeners downloading your podcast.
Yeah, I mean, like their $12 a month one is faster than our $75 a month one was on DreamHost.
Wow.
And another great thing about HostGator, and you can go sign up through our affiliate link on Freedom Fiends over on the right, and it'll help us. I think you get a discount too. I don't know, but another great thing about them is that their support is much better. With DreamHost, you have to like fill out a ticket on the website and jump through a bunch of hoops and check a bunch of boxes, and they get back to you in between 4 and 24 hours. You can call them, but it costs $4.95 for a phone call. With DreamHost, you can send them an email and they write you back in 5 minutes, or you can call them and you get
with
a
HostGator.
HostGator. Yeah, with HostGator. Yeah. You can send them an email, hear back in 5 minutes from competent, smart people.
Okay.
Or you can call them.
Is HostGator open source too? Because they've been asking for Linux programmers all around.
Well, most of the backbone of the internet is Linux. Almost all of it. I mean, people, you can run servers on Microsoft Office server, whatever, but
then you got to pay Microsoft.
Right. So everyone uses Linux because it's free and better.
Yeah.
But with HostGator, you can also call them on the phone and get someone literally within, I mean, the most I've ever waited was 1 minute, and it's usually like 10 seconds. And you get someone, and they're in Texas. They're not in India, you know, so you can understand what they're saying. They can understand you, and they really know their stuff, and it's free. And you don't even have to, like, you know, give your – I think they do it by phone number or something. Like, you don't even have to give your username or any passwords or anything. You just call in and start talking to them, and they will solve your problem on the spot. I called them, like, 5 times while I was moving stuff over.
They
were great.
Fiend phone.
Beautiful.
That was loud. All right.
Fiend phone.
It is. Maybe we've got a winner.
Hello,
we have
Fiend.
A winner. Who's this?
Who's this?
This is the Midwest Scrutinizer.
Hi. Did you want to win the VPS? The VP, N?
VPN.
No, not really. It's passing on to somebody else.
Okay. So what's up, Midwest Scrutinizer?
I want to welcome back Nima.
Yay.
Ah. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
It's good to be back. I'm assuming this is Lou from Michigan.
Yes.
How you doing, Lou?
Yeah. Oh, I'm doing pretty good. You did a hell of a job on the war prayer. Would it be too much to ask for you to do a separate clip without Michael running off with the app in the background and quickity quick quick authoring DVDs?
Could you hear Michael authoring DVDs in the background of that?
Yeah, and in the beginning, he did jump in with a few remarks. I personally think that if you did the, just a separate war prayer and maybe even put in some bombs in for background sound and stuff like that, I think it would have a tremendous effect.
Really? You know, I will have a lot more time on my hands very soon, so yeah, that'd be real easy for me to do. So maybe we could do that, and I'll release it as a separate podcast, and that way it'll be there for posterity, and maybe throw it up on YouTube. do something like that. Wouldn't be hard to do. Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, do it as like an EP single or something like that.
There you go. A B-side. That's a Freedom Fiends B-side. It's ultra rare. But yeah, we don't want it to be rare. So, yeah, I could put it out.
Yeah, but I do have to take you to task for one thing.
Okay.
Between your moving and your vacation a while back, we need to have a little talk about your attendance.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
You're stealing from the Fiends.
I had it approved, man. I had all that PTO reserved from all the year I put in before that. So I had some vacation time coming to me.
It's all good. It's all good. Hey, I just shared an article to both of you. It was about Prop 19 out in California.
Yeah.
And essentially, you had every vested interest that would be competing against full legalization of marijuana was fighting against it. It's called Bootleggers and Baptists, the whole concept of it. You had the Medical Marijuana Growers Association, you had the alcoholic beverage industry, you of course had the Christian Sharia Puritans that are bedeviled that somebody might be happy. Basically what it comes down to is if you can't compete on the open market, use regulation and the government
should
to cripple your competition.
Should decisions on what you put in your body be...
Yep, we're out right now.
I'd forgot about that with the Prop 19 that it was actual medical marijuana growers were against the recreational legalization as well. So another great example of how vested interests will always use state power to keep competition out. And you know, it's hard to really blame them because it's in their best economic interest. It's not them that we should be angry at. It's the system of the state that allows them to do things like prevent competition from existing. I mean, if you're a businessman, you don't care about, you know, doing the right thing. You care about your bottom line. There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong is when you have a state system and you can say, well, I'm a businessman. I don't want Jimmy Jack selling his pot over there at the convenience store. I want him to get a medical license just like I had to do. That's where the problem is.
Yep. Yep. The government is the reason that we do not have nice things.
You see, this is why we don't have nice things. Good point.
If we go back to the old thing, without government, who would build the roads? Well, without government destroying resources and diverting them to stupid shit, we'd probably have Jetson mobiles by now.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Roads suck, by the way.
And sex robots.
I learned that on my trip. I mean, if the roads is the best thing the government has to offer, then they need to up their game because all the roads I drove on were pretty shitty.
They do their roads just like they do everything else, half-assed.
Yeah, exactly.
But I work in downtown Detroit, and it's kind of like the Baghdad obstacle course with fewer roadside bombs. But you still have to navigate the craters on the road.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can imagine, man. I mean, I've never been to Detroit, but I hear some things. It's pretty much falling apart, isn't it?
If broken windows brought prosperity, Detroit would be freaking loaded with cash.
Detroit would be Dubai.
The living debunk of the broken window fallacy right there.
Hey, that's Michael. Awesome.
Yeah.
Michael.
Yeah.
Can you post up that Fiend card thing? I want to order some... order up the 10-pack tonight, and I couldn't seem to find it.
Yeah.
Ah, the silver dime cards?
What's your email address?
Yeah. GIGNACLOU.
I got it. Got it. Cards. Okay. I'll send you this.
Yeah, that way I'll have something really neat to show people, and I can use it to bribe the border guards when they declare martial law.
Silver dime cards. Yep. Okay, silver.
All right. I got to get rolling. Welcome back, Nima. And no, Michael, I wasn't neglecting you. But anyway, you guys take care. I got to go catch some fish.
Come on, take care. Thanks for calling.
Have fun.
Peace out.
In peace.
Worms.
But it got dropped somehow. I don't know. We've still got our VPN that we're giving away. If someone wants a VPN, we're going to do it. And call in and you'll win it. Yeah.
That's the idea, at least.
Yeah, that's the idea.
It's your last chance if you want a VPN.
Yeah, Barbies. That's what we're talking about, Barbies. Wyoming Barbies.
Wyoming Barbies?
I don't know.
Is there a Wyoming Barbie?
We were talking about Wyoming Barbies on the, and you said, yeah. So Barbies, that's what we're talking about. And I don't know. It just kind of like burned into my head as a meme, as a one man meme. So Barbies, that's what we're talking about.
Yes, of course.
Yep. Yep.
Did you ever play with Barbies when you were a little boy, Michael?
Nah, I didn't play with the Barbies or the G.I. Joe, but my wife said that she used to like have the G.I. Joe sexually dominating the Barbie, which was how she knew at a very young age that she was kinky before she even knew what sex was.
See, I was going to mention that. See, I had the Barbies sexually dominating each other. No Ken doll, just Barbie on Barbie action.
You're like, I don't want any men in this. I'm the man. Get these men out of here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So somebody, some guy I've never heard of who isn't even a friend. Some guy I don't know and isn't even a Facebook friend said, check out this movie Guns and Weed directed by my friend Michael W. Dean. I think that's really weird. Somebody don't know the guy.
Sent that as a message to you?
No, posted it. I just found it somewhere. Like he said, yeah, directed by my friend. And I'm like, dude, I have no idea who you are.
Huh.
It was weird.
Maybe it's a friend of yours using a nom de plume.
Maybe.
A nom de face.
But he has a picture. He has a picture too, and it was not anyone I know. Somebody else searched this term to find Freedom Fiends that I thought was pretty funny was, is Michael W. Dean Larkin Rose?
No, he is not.
No. We're both kind of plumpish, middle-aged, white, liberty guys who like guns, but we're not the same guy.
Yeah, I can definitely attest to that. I talked to Michael
Fiend
all the
phone.
Time, and I did interview
Fiend
Larkin,
phone.
So Larkin was not Michael.
Fiend phone.
Oh, Fiend. We've got a Fiend phone.
Hello, Fiend.
Hey, man, it's me. I'm calling back in to win that VPN.
Okay, who is this?
It's Chandler.
You got it, man. You got it.
Awesome.
So what you do is
rock.
What you
do? I know all about VPNs. I heard about it last week from you guys, and I was looking at it, and of course my
let me talk, and I'll tell you what you know about VPNs, but you don't know how to win it yet. How to claim your prize? I'd like to tell you how to claim your prize. Are you interested in that?
Yeah.
Okay. Go to the Freedom Fiend site. And over on the right, there's a little link to Bola VPN. Click on that and sign up for the free account, and then it'll ask you to pay. But you know, don't pay yet. I mean, it's not a free account. Set up an account and then email me with your account name, and I will tell Bola VPN to enable your free one month trial.
Awesome.
Cool.
Score. Cool. Congratulations, Chandler.
Thank you guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to spread the word about this too. I've been telling people. I noticed you posted about the feds reading people's emails. What's your opinion on encrypting emails? We had talked about it a little on that post.
I think it's I've done it. Have you ever done it, Nima? Used encrypted emails?
I've never done it. I kind of feel like I should be doing it, but it's on my to-do list kind of thing.
Justin has not done it. So I'm the guy who's done it here. My opinion is it's worth doing, but it's kind of difficult because not many people do it. So, you know, really it's like the way stuff like that works and gets freedom is everybody has to do it, or a lot of people have to do it, not only people who are sharing secrets, you know, because otherwise when there's secrets shared, if you're the only person in your geographic area using encryption, which they can see you're using encryption, they can't read it, but they can see that you are using encryption, then they'll say, well, it must have been that guy. So, you know, if a lot of people are using it and talking about the weather, that's going to help a lot. But
well, yeah, that's the point that Claire makes in her book. But I was curious.
Claire. I like Claire. Claire Wolf.
Yeah. Well, actually, Mama Liberty turned me on to the encryption thing, and she was trying to walk me through it, and I'm not tech stupid, but I had a hard time at first. But it seemed kind of odd that you have to email your public key to people. Doesn't that kind of expose you?
No. I mean, it exposes you as someone who's using encrypted mail, but it doesn't enable someone else to crack your email. It enables it to work. It's kind of a weird system with a public key. There's two keys. There's one you have that's kept private, and there's one that's public. And the person sending you email has to use your public one, and then that interfaces with your private one, and you can decrypt it, and vice versa.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yep. I still need to read up more on that. But I think it is, you know, the more people that use it, you know, the better off it'll be, even if you don't have stuff to hide, you know?
Right.
Just make their job harder.
Yeah. I feel like what would really aid that is if there were some kind of actual email client, you know, like Gmail or Yahoo, that was specifically for encrypted email.
There is one, but Hush as far mail. As... Well, now, Hushmail isn't really secure.
No?
Hushmail is a web-based... it's probably better than nothing, but it's a web-based free or pay, different levels, encrypted email service. But it's like, first of all, the other person has to like use a code word to be able to download it. So it's like, what do? You email them the code word, you call them with the code word, like that's interceptable. I guess you could mumble them
with the code word.
But it's like, but they also, they have promised to honor, I'm pretty sure they have promised to honor requests from law enforcement to reveal what people send. So,
yeah.
You know, with using a public key, it's just you and whoever you're using it with. And to decrypt it, they would have to like physically break into your house, get your computer, and then hold a gun to your head and have you reveal your password to use it. So, and there is an email program called SeaMonkey, which is a Linux version of Firefox that if you're running Linux, you can use that on there, and it makes it really easy to use public key encrypted email. But it's also like using Linux is better if you're using security stuff anyway, because Windows and Mac, you know, even if you're using encrypted email, they store a lot of things in the hard drive, like, you know, in caches and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's more possible if they get a hold of your computer to read your decrypted mail. You know, basically it's like when you turn something from encrypted to decrypted, there's kind of a hole there in the whole thing. And on Linux, when you delete it, it's gone. On Windows and Mac, when you delete it, it's not necessarily gone.
Have you guys, I know you guys are big fans of Mumble, and I'm still trying to figure that one out. Have you guys ever tried Bitwise Instant Messenger?
No.
Oh, because a few of my friends and I use that, and it's pretty good. It's an encrypted instant messenger. They have the free and the paid service. Ah, the paid service is just all for paid. It's just higher levels of encryption, but you can do voice chat and messaging and send files and stuff. It's pretty good. I have a friend who's pretty big into privacy and you know, online security, and this person approved it, I guess. So,
what's it called again?
Bitwise. You can get it for Windows. Bitwise Instant Messenger.
Huh.
You know, that might be something that could help us out, Michael. I know. See, the way I usually work is I consider my email as being hacked already. So I try to never email things that would be sensitive. So usually me and Michael will just talk on the Mumble if there's anything that could be theoretically sensitive. But having another outlet for that would be good too.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading an interview with, I can't remember who it was, but he was one of the people that was in the founding community of the internet and stuff. And he said, anyone who believes in internet security, it's a pipe dream. You know,
yeah, I mean, basically,
there's steps you can take.
Anything you say on the internet, you might as well assume you're saying it to a cop or a Fed cop, you know?
Yeah, that's always been the rule of thumb. Don't say anything on the phone that you wouldn't say in front of a cop, and I just extend that to the internet too.
Yeah, that's an old 60s saying, old Abbie Hoffman era saying.
Yeah, yep. True that.
Yeah, so Barbies, that's what we're talking about. Internet Barbie security.
Barbies and G.I. Joes, huh?
Yeah, doing horrible, filthy things.
I used to blow my G.I. Joes up.
Interesting.
Yeah, it got kind of costly, though.
Did it? Yeah, I used to always light my army men on fire. I'd like pour gasoline over a group of army men in their little army trucks and take the lighter to it. Had a blast.
I didn't have army men because I was anti-war from about 5 years old. I had toy guns, but I didn't have army men. I was like, I was pro-gun and anti-war from like five.
From very young. You had toy guns to defend yourself from the toy cops.
Yeah. So we're out here. Had a good fiends here, man.
Good fiends.
Good fiends. Good chatting with you guys.
Good fiends to all of you. Worms.
What if the key to achieving liberty in your life was...
So, yeah. Barbies. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. All right. Chandler, you still there?
I am.
Okay, I'm going to hang up.
All right, man.
So go set up a Bola account and then email me your username and I'll have Bola set you up.
All right. I don't even know if I have your email.
Well, Facebook me.
Okay. We'll do.
And send me your email address and then I'll email you and you'll be added to my white list so you can write me.
Okay. Right. And Chandler, you wanted me to Skype you still?
Yeah, let me do this thing and send it to Michael, and then I'll Skype you.
Give him your Skype name, because I'm on mine. He doesn't have your Skype name.
Oh, I do.
Okay.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I'm pretty sure I do.
All right. I think so, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right, guys. Take care.
Cool. Take it easy,
Nima,
man.
Nima, stay on for a minute or two, please.
Okay. Do you want to go over to the Worms server?
Yeah.